And maybe I'll smash it a little more and do a little more hard limiting.
Smash it. Don't hard you dare. Don't you ever hard limit me.
Smash it. Hard.
There limiting. Is no hard limits in this podcast.
I got your hard limit. That doesn't mean anything.
This podcast has no hard limit.
And yet I said it with such force that it did mean something.
I said it with such force, I choked myself.
Happy Christmas, everybody.
Hey,
everybody. If this actually gets released on time, it's Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve.
Or
Merry
we all...
Christmas, you say, Mitchell. Oh,
here we go.
We did that last week.
Merry Christmas, movie house.
Let's not do this again.
This week it'll be... Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad. Thanks, Mr. Narwhal.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships instead, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
I had the foresight, I would have gotten some jingle bells for that version, but...
Oh, God, that would have been good.
Yeah.
Hey, put that on, make a note for next year.
Here, yeah. I'm going to play a Christmas song. Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
All right, I just changed my most annoying Christmas song. Immediately flipped it.
That's what you do. Get somebody in the Christmas spirit, go into a business, go down to the packing ship, and go up to when everybody's in the back and just start singing. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. It's fun to ride one horse up and say, hey.
This is when you see those things, right? It says like ring bell for service. Do you like not want to do it? I'm like, if I ring this, this guy's gonna be like, oh shit, here we go. Like,
well, I don't want to do it.
It's an instant you're a dick bell.
I'm very resistant to those. They have or a version like at the deli counter or the meat counter
or whatever it is, like to the buzzer basically thing. Say, come, I need attention.
Yeah, you know it's what I mean? Like, excuse me, please. Yes. Yes, I could use some service.
I'll just stand there and hate the guy for 5 minutes before I ring the bell. I'll be like, oh, I'm not going to ring that bell. I don't want to
do it for two reasons. One, because you know that little mushroom nub, the little steel thing that you push down? Yeah. I'm quite sure that is the home of COVID.
Oh, well, that's a new consideration. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, you always get that shitty look from someone when they come out.
See,
there's no gratitude for letting them know you're there. There's just a shitty side eye.
I know, because immediately they're like, oh, there's the bell. I got to go like Pavlov's dog and wait on this fat ass.
Now, I'm much more passive aggressive. I'll like... pretend to drop my keys on the counter really loud
or the gentle cough, the clearing of the throat.
That doesn't sound like you're going ahem.
These days people really flock to you if you cough. This fellow's wheezing out here. Let me just rush right out and see what's on his
right after, change right after you all touch our the behavior
button. Pretty much
yeah, hey, that bell, welcome that to the worst.
Welcome to the Christmas episode, the holiday episode of the proceedings. Larry Morgan's right there. Mm-hmm. He's right there.
That's me.
Right there in plain sight.
Right here.
Josh Fligger. Everybody can see him.
Hi, guys. I'm going to wave.
Nobody can see Andy Chandler.
Sam Farmer's Needy Bennett. There's a football game today. We're doing this on Saturday.
There is?
There's one football game today, I believe, isn't
there? No, I thought that was next week. I thought that was Christmas weekend.
Are you sure? I think there's one today.
I think it's a pretty good bet it was canceled/postponed anyway. So... Yeah.
Look it up, but I think there's one.
Oh, maybe
today.
There is. I don't know.
And then the rest tomorrow, of course. So he's knee deep in.
And there's a good one on Monday too.
Yeah, that's right.
If
the Steelers and
the Bungles
and the Bengals. Yeah. Bengals.
The Bungles.
Bengals. So this is the holiday episode. In a little bit, we're going to get to the worst Christmas songs. Ever.
Talk about ruining your holiday spirit. I mean,
it's going to be just shit.
Is it feeling like Christmas time for you guys yet?
Yeah.
Are you needy? Yeah. I'm in it. We're in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we're
I felt it this week. I did.
We're doing cookies today.
Yeah, we got, nice. I felt it when Charlotte came home with 19 bags of groceries, and I'm like, really? Is that what it's going to take? Yeah, it was like, well, I got everything for everything. She doesn't want to go back to the store again for 2 weeks.
Tomorrow morning, I'm getting up, I'm making the list tonight, and tomorrow morning, I'm getting up the butt crack of dawn, heading over to Vaughn's and cleaning out everything. We were cleaning out the fridge and just stacking it full so we don't have to go back until January. Actually, December 31st, because we got to get the stuff for the New Year's meal.
Yeah. I'll tell you, we're really in the Christmas spirit because we had a little Christmas miracle this week.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. A little Christmas miracle in our lives.
Do tell.
I heard about this. Yeah. I saw this Christmas miracle on Instagram.
Just this morning.
And okay, Laura, you know, we have four cats, which I'm sure is illegal.
You got a cat permit?
Yeah. It's a good thing you're not saying it publicly anywhere. That's fair.
Yeah, right. Anywho,
nobody's listening to this thing.
I had a dog when I was very young, when I was six, who didn't last long and kind of soured me on the whole thing. But I had a little beagle, and she had golden retriever when she was growing up and loved that dog a great deal. But since then, we've kind of been cat folk. But Laura looked at that picture. She showed it to me this morning and she brought the picture over. She's like, I'm not really a dog person, but this might change my mind. Because that fucking pup is adorbs.
And it continues to just be. Yeah, I'll give you the whole story. Same thing, Andy. I grew up with a dog from very early on, and then Charlotte was always a dog person. She had dogs around when she was growing up. And my first real gift to Charlotte, after an expensive engagement ring, which really set me back for a bit, we were living together about 6 months before we got married, and my first gift to her in our new home was a Cocker Spaniel puppy, which I set down in front of her. And we have had a dog in our lives together for the 30 plus years we've been married until the last couple of years. And the last two dogs we had were around for a long time after we moved to Cambria. And when they passed on, she was like, I think I'm okay to take a break for a little bit. It just gave her she's such a doggy mommy, and she was always being bugged by them and taking them out. And with me traveling back and forth and being gone, all the responsibility fell to
her.
But at the same time, because she was alone a lot, they were companions for her. But because she was working on her art and because they were always bugging her, because we've never trained our dogs ever to be good. Mm-hmm. and plus we had to take them out. We didn't have a doggy door or anything. So we just took a break, and it was really nice. But it was getting more and more to feel like it was about time. And then once Alex moved back from New York, he literally turns into a 6-year-old. I want a puppy. I mean, he's just been an obnoxious grown man.
How did he say it again?
I want a puppy. Just like that. And so he and I both have been following these adoption accounts on Instagram that usually are constantly saving dogs from high kill shelters. It's amazing how many dogs are out there. A lot of them are smaller. We were focusing on small dogs so we could maybe travel if we needed to. And a couple of them that came up that he had applied for, there's an account I follow called the LaBelle Foundation, which is a fantastic organization in West LA that rescues puppies constantly. They're a nonprofit. They do great work. And he's been tagging me on anyone that comes up that's like, maybe this one. I want a puppy. And this little phase came up, and I submitted right away, and almost always 1,000 people all submit at the same time. And I even got a bounce back that said, average wait is 3 to 6 months. Usually after applying 6 or 7 times, that's about the average of when you get. Well, I got a notification right away. Your submission's been approved. I kind of made the rounds of the family. I said, are we going to do this? And we drove into LA on Thursday to meet and greet. And it was just, I mean, I'm going to tear up about it. I mean, this little guy was meant to be for us. Yep. And he's the cutest, and he's Alex has already become the dad, and he's taken over. He's going to train it. He's going to feed it. He's going to sleep with it. We're never going to see it other than dog sitting this morning because he didn't get much sleep because he's a little guy. He's already taught it to sit. In one day, he taught it to sit. This is smart freaking
pup. Does it have a name yet?
He is officially Bixby.
Bixby. Now, named after Bixby Bridge?
Not at all.
Named after Bill Bixby?
No, not even close. I came up with Bix, for short, after Bix Beiderbecke, the legendary jazz trumpeter. Thank you very much. And Alex has a connection to a Bixby because, nerd alert, something to do with his Dungeons and Dragons group.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
I want a puppy. I want a dragon.
As he's putting ketchup on his eggs.
By the way, there is I think 1973 Merle Haggard song, Bobby Wants a Puppy Dog for Christmas. That could have maybe been a contender for a little bit later in the program.
Well, I wish you would pick that one because you took one of mine, but whatever.
Oh, man, did I?
Yeah, well, this is the first time we've ever had a conflict, but I was willing to give it up, and you're right on that. But anyway, though, I don't want to talk about this dog forever, but it has brought so much joy in our lives already. It is.
How long have you had him?
We brought him home. We met him Thursday, brought him home yesterday.
Wow. Nice. Have you seen picture yet?
No, I haven't seen any.
Oh, no. Yeah. This dog is, look on Instagram.
Is it a mutt? What is it? What kind of dog is it?
They listed him as a mega mutt. They had no idea. I don't even know if they
what's
know.
What's he look, it, what it looks kind like of look like?
Halfway between a Doberman and a Jack Russell. I mean, it's just a cute little.
Okay, so it's a smaller type dog?
He is pretty small. I doubt he's going to be bigger than 20 pounds. His paws are not like very big, so it doesn't like he's going to grow into anything. So he's going to be small-ish to medium.
And that's good. That's good for turd size, too, because when you start getting those dogs that start dropping human sized turds, you're just like,
I already got enough human sized turds. You know what I'm saying?
I want to pick my turds up with a tissue, not with a shovel.
Somebody. And there's another phrase for the mug. So
stitch that on a sampler, put that up on the wall. That's nice.
Somebody else said maybe terrier chihuahua. I mean, he literally could be a mix, but he got the best of all. If anybody wants to see Bixby, he is on my Instagram at the Larry Morgan. He might be the cutest dog ever, and I will fight anybody who tries to argue with me on that.
I don't want to embarrass you, Larry, here in front of everybody, but I'm pretty sure that's pronounced Chihuahua.
sorry, you're right. Because we all know you are the king of pronunciations. So I defer. And by the way, apologies to our Latin audience if of any descent. We apologize. Well, I do anyway.
Speaking of human-sized turds.
yeah. Can't wait for this segue.
that dog is absolutely adorable and can't wait to have him on screen so I can say, where's your ball? Go get your ball.
He's a good boy. He's a good boy.
By the way, ask me if he's a good boy.
Is he a good boy? Oh, he's such a good boy. He's such a good boy. For those of you listening at home, he actually did the head gestures, too.
Yes, I did.
Amazing. Since you brought it up, Larry, I did do some home fix-it projects.
Wait, what? Hold on. Oh, boy. I feel a human-sized turd coming off. you cannot auto-seg when there is no cue to do so.
You were hinting at fascia.
Oh boy, that is the thinnest of connections, my friend.
Gossamer at best.
All right.
I tried to rewire an electrical outlet on my back porch. When they finished the kitchen 3 years ago, they just left this wire sticking out into a box and empty, you know, and I wanted to move it over a little bit and make an outdoor, outlet there so I can hang some market lights over the pavilion.
The carport.
And I took that and I had to go up in my attic amongst the installation and crawl on my hands and knees and relocate this wire out another hole coming out of my eaves. I know.
This is the second time you've had to crawl around in the attic amongst the insulation.
I know. Yeah. Wire this thing up and I get it all wired up, plug something in, nothing. I think it's a cold wire. I don't think there's, I should have checked that first, I guess.
Yeah.
Because that's something that you would check right off.
Yeah.
Make sure it's plugged in.
Yeah.
We're going to do some electrical work. Make sure the wire's make sure it's has juice to it. So a little bit of a disappointment this week. And now, I guess I'm constantly running the risk of burning down the house with this poorly wired.
Andy, I experienced something this week that...
By the way, Andy,
you're
great story,
with.
By the way. The fact that the story ends in a cold wire and that is the end, the story.
I ended with the possibility of our house burning down for Christmas.
Oh, well, that's good.
And touch wood and whistle.
Hey,
that doesn't happen.
If you had a fake tree, that wouldn't burn. Anyway.
So you can just feel the Christmas warmth. Can't you?
So I got this, we have this like cupboard by the back door and it's two sections with double doors open out. Right. And it's uh-huh. kind of the pantry. It's where we keep like soups and chips and stuff like that. And the top part is kind of high. So like when you open it up, the knobs are actually like right at eye level. So you're opening it up right there. And then the base of the cabinet is kind of like at neck level. So, you know, it's like right there. Right. So I had been noticing lately. Well, no, I noticed one time I opened up, I had these little bag of raw almonds and I opened it up the other day. And as I grabbed the bag, they all just fell out of this hole in the side of the bag. And I'm like, what the hell? And then I look and there's little pieces of plastic laying all through the cabinet. And then I see a little tiny mouse turd. And I was like, son of a bitch. So I took everything out and I went and I bought mouse traps. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever? So I'm in my kitchen. Have you ever set a mouse trap before?
Oh, many.
Yeah. Yeah. It is one of the most terrifying things to do.
Sure. Yeah. It's nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've set rat traps before, and it's like, God. I'm going to break my wrist. Something's it's going to jump up and snap my face off.
I got like a big gob of peanut butter on the first trap, and I'm down there trying to set it, and it goes off, and the peanut butter hits the ceiling. It's just peanut butter flying everywhere. So finally, I get it set and I put it on a plate, a paper plate, and I stick it in there and I close the thing. And I'm like, I'm not going in there for like 2 days until it gets comfortable. And I'm like, surely it'll go in there and set off the trap. So I wait a couple days. And as I open, I go in and open it up. As I open it up, okay, so there's a pipe from our water. This place is goofy. There's a pipe that goes right through the middle of the cabinet that's insulated. And that is like right in the middle of the cabinet. So I open up the door. And as I've opened it up to look to see if the thing is there, the mouse is on the foam thing like a foot away from my head. And I just slam the door and just scream and like fall backwards and just like almost... But die laying there. So then that, and I'm like, and then I see more turds everywhere. And I'm like, son of a, so he's at this point in time, he's just,
could you pick them up with a tissue?
Yes. Yeah. A tiny tissue or a tiny shovel. Either. So I'm like, I'm like, he's not going to do the trap. So I went and got the sticky traps. You know, I'm talking, you know, I got ones the size for rats because I'm like, I'm this whole cabinet is going to be nothing but a sticky trap because I do not want this mouse around. And I stick it in there and I do the same thing and I go for like 2 days and finally I open it up and I got him. And I'm like, I call my wife and I'm like, what do we do? is this thing still alive? I'm like, I don't know what to do. And she opens up and she's looking at it, and sure enough, he moves his head and we're like, oh shit, he's still alive. So what do we do? So I go and look at the container and it says that if it's alive, you need to humanely euthanize it, right?
Put down the Kleenex and go get the shovel.
Hold on. So I'm like, well, how the hell do you humanely euthanize a mouse?
Generally, it's considered injection.
I was like, do you drown it? I don't know what the hell you do.
Oh God, no.
So I Googled it.
Speed is of the essence here. I think quick.
So I Googled it and I'm freaking out.
That's the humane part as opposed to, I don't know, let's debate this for the next couple of days, see how it
goes. Let me waterboard him.
Well, you know what the recommended thing was to do?
We'll show those other mice, right?
Right?
I looked it up online and there was like this big thing about doing this and they said the recommended way to do it was a quick blow to the head.
Sure. I was literally gonna say get a hammer out, man. I mean, right, there's no way around it.
And I'm like, I know, I'm it's not terrible smashing this mouse's skull. So by the time I just let it sit there for like a couple more hours and it suffocated. So then I just,
oh God.
Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Wow.
Can we just start over, Andy? Can we start all over?
Touch my fucking almonds. So then I just scooped them up and threw them in a Ralph's bag and stuck them in a trash can.
So happy ending.
And to all a good night.
And not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Oh, wow. Because Josh suffocated.
There you go. Happy birthday, Jesus.
Oh. It suffocated.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit. Yeah. Should we get to
have to put a warning on this episode, like in the text. It just, warning, triggering content to follow.
Oh, should we get to the Christmas songs?
Yeah, sure. As long as we're pissing people off, why not? Oh my God! Oh,
wow, I feel lightheaded after that. That's something.
I'm crying, man.
Oh, good God!
Well, great story. Honestly, Josh, though, you know, in retrospect, though, so much better than that cold wire thing we just heard about.
Yeah.
I mean, it was tragic. It was more of a tragedy than the milquetoast middle of the road narrative that Andy came up with. Uh-huh. It had highs and lows and suspense. Mm. You know, there was a cliffhanger and then,
well,
you know,
both of our stories ended up with something cold and dead.
Oh God. Oh man.
Well played.
Okay.
Well, Larry, should we hand it over to you on that note our least beloved Christmas wishes? Now, I was just remembering one that you chose last year, by the way. And it's the holiday season. So poop-dee-poo. Is that, I don't want to kill.
No, I actually think I chose that as one that I enjoy because.
Oh, is it? Was it really? Sorry.
Because we sing along with it because it's so stupid. I mean, it's really dumb.
It's coming down the chimney down.
Yeah. No, I didn't pick that as annoying. I can't remember what I picked as annoying, but I know it's not the two I picked. And you and I did conflict on one and I was more than happy to give it up. But you are.
Oh, I know which one it would be then. I know which one of the
yeah,
two.
Yeah, because the other one, wait, so I have no idea before? What that freaking song is that, that you picked, the other one. Yeah. Except I think you've mentioned it in the past. And before we start this, which obviously, thank you, Josh, for setting the tone. This is, you know, this has become a dark Christmas tradition for us now in that around Christmas time. And I think by the time people listen to this episode, my theory is everybody's going to be kind of over Christmas, even if they're listening to this right around Christmas. It's like the lead up is so long. At this point, it's like it's nice to let off a little steam and go, yeah, there's some stuff that really annoys me here. And I think that we can all agree that the king, the pinnacle of all annoying Christmas songs is Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, right? It's like it's not even worth mentioning, right?
Yeah. Right.
Right, right. Yeah. Just like it's a standard. Everybody knows it sucks.
And I also, even just as we started this episode, it occurred to me that also something like this exists in the world. Hold on, stand by for it.
I know what it is. Yeah.
All the Jingle Cats songs are out there. I mean, those are terrible. So there's that. I don't even know where to begin. And I just want to give, again, another warning here. Josh and I especially are going to piss some people off today because I completely disagree with his choices. And I know there are going to be people you guys might even argue with mine. So I think Andy is probably the one that kind of wins this game because he did pick two incredibly annoying songs that I don't think people can argue with. So I think I'm just going to start with mine and just get it over with. And I'm sure that my first selection has just a lot to do with fatigue, especially where I work and where I have worked and the number of times this has shown up in movies and TV. And I feel certain there are people who, I guess, love this one. But oh, my God, people. Last Christmas. I'm sorry. Rest in peace, George Michael, and whatever's going on with Andrew. I have no idea. But Last Christmas by Wham, I talk about just overplayed. It's also a whiny piece of shit heartbreak song.
Right.
And like, okay, it's the Hallmark movies of Christmas songs. It means nothing to me. It's some of the worst 80s synthesizers and productions. They clearly knocked this off thinking, well, we'll get some airplay this year, but nobody's ever going to listen to this piece of crap again.
Right. Well, let's go a layer deeper on this.
Yeah.
This person was jilted on the 26th of the previous December.
Right.
And this Christmas, they're still fucking hung up on this.
Yeah.
And they're sending a jilted love song to this person saying, right, this year, I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to somebody who loves me.
This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Right.
You do not want to be anywhere near a relationship with this asshole because that's trouble.
Yeah.
This is one of those Glenn Close, I'm not going to be ignored, Larry. That's bunny boiling horseshit.
Yeah, the whole sentiment of it is it just really rubs me the wrong way. So I know there are probably people who love that one. But I don't know why.
I don't love it, but it doesn't bother me.
I'm with you, Larry. I've always hated it. I hate the rhyme scheme of it. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. And then the double rhyme within the one line.
Yeah.
The very just next like what day, you gave it away.
Oh, wow.
Nothing in the song rhymes. And it kills me.
I mean, you're right, Josh. It's somewhat benign. It's not overtly offensive. But I just think the very fact that it's so benign and just so syrupy, dumb, and miscalculated.
I think it's
now a classic. And literally, it's in every frickin' Christmas show and movie that comes out. Ugh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like one of those songs. It's just there. I hear it in the background. I don't even know what the lyrics are, but it's like I know I've heard the song a million times. And then when it goes away, I never sing it again. You know what I mean? It's just there's nothing catchy about it. But I don't know.
That's the point. The very nature of what you just said is like, why do we keep bringing
why
it
is
up
it here?
But I've already played it 40 times this year.
It's the Archie Comics of Christmas songs.
You are so circus. Insensitive. You sound like the kind of person that if someone gave you their heart, the very next day you give it away.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I wait 364 days.
Andy, let's go with you, and maybe this is one we can all agree on. Do you want to pick the more familiar one or the more obscure one?
Sure. Yeah. Start with the one that I think I stole from you.
Yeah.
Go ahead and hit it.
And this is a slam dunk. Here we go.
I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night.
Singing off key.
Oh,
off key.
No.
On purpose.
He didn't see me creep down the stairs to have a pee. She thought that I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep.
All right, that's enough of
okay.
that.
Now,
boy, talk
on.
About taking a hammer to the head. I mean,
I would like to get the last 15 seconds of it, if it's possible. Do you have it? Do you not?
Oh, I didn't include
the
whole song.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. It's fine. It's fine. It ends with a... just like a tickle attack. And this was done now by a very talented comedian. Her name was Mimi Hines. She's still alive, I believe, and doing well. She, you know, has been a very talented comedian for, 75 years or more. And she's quite talented, but she's 26 when she's singing this horseshit. And the singing off key, because that's what kids do. And the whole thing, it just goes 9 miles up my ass.
Do you remember?
Every time I hear it, and I can't abide it.
I had to sing this song at the Last Sound Christmas party over karaoke. Do you remember that?
What do you mean had to? Who forced you to do that?
Gina came up with this game where they had karaoke where if the person sang a song, they got to pick the next person to sing the next song. You didn't volunteer. You had to go do it. Oh. And I think Gina picked me, and this was my song, and I just butchered it.
You know what she and I sang together was Islands in the Stream by
Kenny Rogers
and Dolly Parton, written, by the way, by the Bee Gees, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Barry Gibb maybe wrote that.
Yeah.
I butchered it. But anyway, you know who else sang karaoke at that Christmas party?
I remember
it's one of your current coworkers, Larry, a production director at Intercom. Los Angeles.
Mr. Latour.
Yep.
We got Latour. Bill Latour, who was the production director at The Sound for years and years. This is the guy who wrote and performed as Latour, People Are Still Having Sex.
And he had a hit. It wasn't 1989
or something? It was a big club hit. Yeah, especially in Europe.
And
yeah.
he performed People Are Still Having Sex.
And we're like, we start playing. We're like, Bill, will you do it? He's like, yeah, I'll do it. He goes up there and kills it. It was
the best part of the night.
And the thing that you have to know about Mr. Latour is that Bill is the most low-key, like
totally.
Barely talks.
Yeah.
Like he is the Last Christmas of people. It's just like he's just kind of there. He's the nicest guy in the world. Very nice guy. But you would have never known that he had a dance club hit in the 80s about people are still having sex. And he was the guy behind. I mean, it's like there's something that doesn't fit there. It's crazy. That's wild.
It was the best. And he was very, very quiet. And he's the kind of person, though, that every now and then you get a sardonic response from him out of the corner of his mouth, you know, like just announced that, you know, I don't know, management announces a restriction on this or that. And just out of the corner of his mouth, oh, this sounds like fun. You know, just, just sideways. But yeah, it was fun to have Latour perform
fantastic.
At our Christmas party. It was pretty
great.
Yeah,
that song's pretty annoying, Andy.
Yeah. If we can go one more layer deep on that song, basically the song is about, I'm a little kid, I go downstairs, and I see Santa putting the moves on my mom,
right.
who
yeah.
is obviously having an affair with this cherished symbol.
Kissing and tickling.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And she's totally fine with pushing daddy aside
yeah.
and having Santa be now her
No,
her
she's
new
delighted.
Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should.
Yeah, it's sick.
I would like to give a mention to the great comedian Kip Adada, who did I Saw Daddy Kissing Santa Claus once. Which, aside from from the overt homophobic tones to it's pretty good take on it.
And by the way, there's another version. I mean, it was originally done, I guess, by Spike Jones and his band of Merrymakers. Is
maybe,
that right?
Maybe, yeah.
You know, years before.
Yeah, I think so. They also had
because that's the, and you know what? There is a John Mellencamp version of it that is more palatable.
Yeah.
But just barely.
Yeah. Spike Jones also responsible for another incredibly annoying one, which I actually have an affection for some reason. But it, All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth.
Oh, yeah.
I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, 1952, Jimmy Boyd. So not Spike Jimmy Jones Boyd at all. Once again, all Andy completely wrong. And off by two decades.
Ring the bell. Let's ring the bell.
Is it? I wasn't sure.
Okay. Every time Andy's wrong, an angel gets its wings.
What do you mean? Let's
make
angels, everybody.
That's right,
Zozo. All right, Joshy, which one do you want to do first? And by the way, you're wrong on both of these. But
do either one. Either one. I'm the same level of annoyance
on
both.
But you are not alone. There are people who hate these songs. You are right. These generally top the most hated Christmas songs lists that come up anywhere. I'll just randomly pick this one. Okay.
I'm with you.
The waitresses and Christmas wrapping. People really, really, really do not like this. I actually kind of dig this for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's quirky and fun.
I remember the first time I heard this driving on Highland. I never heard this back in Pennsylvania. And the first year I was here, I was driving down Highland in the middle of a work day listening. And this song came on, and I was just so confused and angry. I was just like, "What is this shit?" And it's just garbage. I mean, the horn on it is just annoying.
Merry Christmas.
But I think I'll skip this one this year. Good, go ahead, get out of here. Nobody wants you anyway.
I definitely think that I could be wrong, like Andy, but I believe this was probably. I may be pulling an Andy here, but
no,
I'm pretty sure. No, that's a thing.
That is not a thing. I don't want that to become a thing.
I think it's a thing.
That's not a thing.
It is now. I'm pretty sure I would bet that is a K-Rock song that they made popular.
Is it an 80s song? That's an 80s song.
Yeah,
right?
81. Right.
Yeah, I was gonna say it literally sounds like 80s, like bad 80s.
It also might have been like a Dr. Demento. I mean, it's one of those that was very quirky, almost like, you know.
That song's 40 years old almost. Ugh.
81.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Someone put it down.
Somebody put a hammer to its head.
Someone put it in a glue trap.
Let us suffocate. Let us suffocate on the sticky shit.
I've got an idea. I'll solve the problem. Close the door.
Wait a few hours. It'll be dead.
Yeah.
Speaking of dead, here's my next one. And I might get some pushback on this. I just want everyone to know this is not a slam on the artist and their contribution to the history of music and rock and roll. I just think every time I hear this, I'm like, no, yeah, lazy, awful, don't like it, never have.
I already know what it is.
You don't. Do
I
you?
I do. I think I do. What?
No!
Christmas.
What?
No!
Shut up, Elvis. Nobody cares. This was quintessential. Walk in the door, look at the lyrics for the first time, go, okay, boys, one take and I'm out of here. I got 9 peanut butter nanner sandwiches waiting for me and a couple of young chicks in the back of the limo. So don't fuck it up and we'll get out of here quick. All right, 3 minutes. Here we go. Jesus.
No!
Yeah, no, this sucks. This song sucks.
No!
That song's so good.
And if you listen to the rest of this album, it's more of the same. It's just like they knocked it out in a day and they were done. And he's like, again,
Well, contractual obligation is pretty good. Thank you very much. Bye.
I think this might be the most shocking one of the day to me. I think now, this is the most shocking choice.
This is, and this was my replacement for I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. So partly this is your fault, Andy. Everything's falling on you today.
Well, I love that song as a kid. Oh my God. No. I love listening to that. My favorite part of it was the singers in the background.
Yeah. Exactly. That's great.
That is grating to me. That is just like those backup vocals are the worst.
They almost don't even sound like vocals. Like it's an actual instrument being played. You know what I mean? They fit into the song so.
Yeah, it sounds like they figured out how to take one of those jingle cats and tune it in a way that made you so. It's just one of those. It just doesn't. Now and again, I want to reiterate. I respect Elvis. There are so many things he did that I love. It has nothing to do with him.
Right.
That song cannot. I couldn't go. Andy, it couldn't Andy go away
looks
faster.
Like he's in shock. looks like he's in shock.
I think the song is fantastic that way. By the way, speaking of Elvis and Christmas songs and color Christmas songs, White Christmas, his version of White Christmas.
Yeah.
I think it's quite nice. But did you ever hear what Irving Berlin said about it?
No.
He was hot about it. He was pissed.
That's the other one I'm talking about. That Irving, is a horrendous cover of White Christmas.
It's not that bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's nice. And Irving Berlin was so pissed off about it that he had his people call every radio station in the country demanding that they not play it. He was so pissed off to have a rock and roller playing his song that he got that pissed. I wonder if he ever heard the Drifters version of it.
So much better.
It's so good. All right. It's awesome.
Andy, your turn to trash something. And this one, again, I have to admit, I don't know how. I mean, is this one that you were familiar with before we talked about this?
Yes.
Okay, you got to give some history here.
I pulled out of my ass 15 seconds before, I usually do. when I grew up, my parents in the mid to late 60s, they purchased a couple of Reader's Digest 6 LP box sets. One of them was, Christmas classics, and it was Lawrence Welk. One of them, Lawrence Welk's Christmas classics, and it was all the Lawrence Welk people doing stuff. Yeah. And now Sissy and Bobby will dance for you. And then on the other one was a bunch of classic Christmas songs done by different people, like Enrique Caruso from 1916 with him doing O Holy Night and stuff like that.
Listed as one of your favorite all time.
One of my favorite all time. But in the Lawrence Welk side of the collection, in those six albums. And by the way, I went back and I when my parents passed, I got all of that music. And I think maybe I did it before. I did it before while they were still with us. But I took all of those LPs and I dubbed them for my family because it meant so much to us. And so I committed that piracy. Probably not a good thing to say out loud. Anyhow, it's something that always meant a great deal to us. This was one of those Lawrence Welk songs. Have a listen.
All right. And I included the intro, Andy, because it's immediately so annoying.
Oh, good Lord. God. Here comes love.
I want to do more than whistle. How long can a girl just whistle? I want to do more than whistle. Under the mistletoe, the fire is warm and rosy, and we could be oh so cozy.
Listen.
So thrill me from head to toesy.
Thrill me from head to toesy. Keep going.
I'm gonna get my wish because I still believe in Santa Claus. I'm all decked out like a Christmas tree. So baby, please hang a kiss on me.
Yeah.
I wanna do more.
This chick wants it.
Yeah, from head to toesy.
From head to toesy. Hang a kiss on her. Christmas means something entirely different to her, man.
She's dressed up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, she's ready to drop those stockings at any point.
Yeah.
That is incredibly annoying. And by the way, I would officially like to request that you from now on make that our new on hold music anytime you have to pause.
the beginning of that made me like want to punch Santa.
That's why I left the intro on, right?
The intro is just like, oh, God.
That's the worst, right?
That's great. That's the happy organ right there.
Yeah, it is. I get your happy organ right here.
Yeah, I think she's got a happy organ.
She was a happy organ.
Yeah. Okay. Merry Christmas again, everybody.
Where's my trophy? Do I win?
Christmas hussy.
Yeah, you might. You might. And now Josh is back to piss some more people off. But again, Josh, you are not alone in this one. And it's similar to, my last Christmas Wham thing.
But I also want to reiterate, I have the same feelings about the artist as you do, with Elvis, you know. Yeah. This to me is the worst thing this person has ever created.
Oh, I bet that I know what this is.
The mood is right.
Yep. Ugh. I guess.
The spirit's up.
Oh, now you want to talk about mailbagging it in.
And that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Ugh.
Oh, the echo on the keyboards is just so cheesy.
Yeah. Again, this feels like one that the artist knocked out very quickly, never thinking that it was going to be anything heard beyond a season or two.
Yeah, but then he went and played all the instruments and everything, so he made sure he was the one to get all the money.
Well, there's an interesting fact that you've probably never heard on this podcast, that Paul McCartney could completely live on the proceeds of this song. Oh, that's right. Andy's only mentioned this 19 times on this podcast.
So. Yes, it's true. And the last numbers I can find are from a decade ago. He makes $400,000 every year from this song. Every year. Yeah. And if that was $15 million,
I love Paul McCartney too.
$4 million. He's up to now $20 million because he wrote it, he sings it, he plays all the instruments on it, he produced it.
Did I mention that you've already told this story 19 times on this podcast?
And there are thousands of copies of this song, of cover versions of it. I remember, rich because of it.
I had the same exact reaction when I heard the song as the last song. The very first time I heard it, I saw the video was on VH1.
Yes.
And I remember standing there in my parents' living room being like, oh, it's a Paul McCartney song, you know? So my ears perked up, you know, I'm like, oh, and then it just started. And then it was like, I was just standing there and it was like, somebody told me they killed my dog. It was just like, I was like, what? I don't understand. What is that? This is shit. What is this crap?
See, I react to this similar to the way you talked about the Wham song, which is, it just feels kind of benign to me. I find it mildly pleasant and joyful, at least, instead of just a dirge or a downbeat, you know, broken heart wah wah song.
Right.
I mean, it's no this. Well, there you go. Once
Happy
again,
Christmas.
It's that annual Christmas tradition of shitting on your favorite Christmas songs.
Yay.
But that's a good one to end on, because that McCartney song does admittedly very often appear at the top of the list of the most annoying Christmas songs of all time. It's very often number one. So
totes.
There you go.
Totes my goats. Mm-hmm. Well, with the time we have left here, guys, I just have two quick phone calls. So I thought I would play them for you. And I haven't listened to these. This one looks weird. Because it's very short.
Well, do you want me to look in the Yafsack real quick while you're getting things set up? Or
I'm ready to go with it.
All right, go for it.
If you're ready for it, here we go. Here's the first one.
I can't afford you guys. Stay well. Aloha.
I can't afford you guys.
Stay well. Aloha.
That guy was smashed.
Well, first of all,
come in?
First of all, the podcast is free, so I'm not really sure. And it could have been somebody else's number he was trying to call. I don't know.
Morally, perhaps he can't afford us.
Is there a timestamp on that? What time did that come in? I guarantee it's got to be like 1:30
a.m. No, it was last Sunday at 8:17 p.m.
Oh, good.
Okay.
A Sunday drunk.
Nice. I can't. A little something for you. I mean, Sunday's a weird day to be calling for. I don't know. All right.
Yeah.
Was he trying to get Spectrum, you know, just like looked at his cable bill? I don't know.
Yeah. Stay well. Aloha, Spectrum. All right. I've got one more call. All right. Let's hear this.
Hi, this is Lisa from Santa Clarita. Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is going to be a few episodes ago, but Larry was talking about The Repair Shop on Netflix. I just want to highly recommend it. I don't use this word very often, but it's delightful. It's not a repair shop for just anything. It's where people bring in family heirlooms, some valuable, some not, and these craftsmen from all over England repair them and restore them. It's really beautiful. There's heartwarming stories. There's very touching stories. And you see some cool stuff, from clocks to furniture to dolls to a World War I helmet. So I highly recommend it. Check it out. They're only 30 minutes long, and it's really fun. Bye.
Nice.
Did you talk about that?
Larry did.
Larry.
I'm sorry, what was the call about?
It was about Larry.
Did we play the call yet?
Talking about a show called The Repair Shop.
Yeah, I recommended.
I tune you out mostly.
It comes up on Netflix all the time because, for whatever reason, I've never watched it, but I thought it was the one I recommended to you, Andy, that it could be this kind of relaxing balm of a show to watch somebody fix something. Or
because I never get anything finished.
In your own privacy, you could sit there and masturbate to it as he pulls his tools out.
Ooh, is that an awl? All right. Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. But I'm interested now with Lisa's recommendation.
Oh, I bring it up.
Carries nothing. Okay. Nothing. But Lisa.
Yeah, no, definitely check it out.
Now I'm going to check it out. Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. Oh, by the way, your YAF line, if you want to call in and, share any sort of holiday story or otherwise, you can reach us at 626-657-6428 or amok PM hat. That's 626-657-6428.
If you want to fight us on our least favorite Christmas songs, we would love to hear you refute our picks here. I have one quick YAFSAC email. Our friend David Hedewall sent us this one. I assume it has something to do with something we talked about on the podcast that I cannot place. Because as you just witnessed, I rarely pay attention unless I'm talking.
To even things you're saying.
Yeah.
I can't even make it through the theme song without phasing out. Yeah.
So he sent an image from an article he found online. Hi, Yaffers. I can't believe I got this in my email today. I think this needs to trend. Hashtag sit and pee. And he sent me an article from Health Guide. 6 reasons men should pee sitting down. And I assume that's because we talked about the sit down pee at some point. It seems like a distant memory.
I vaguely remember.
Oh, yeah. Wait, is this a reference to the artwork that Aaron did for?
Yeah, maybe so.
Where somebody's sitting on a toilet listening to.
I'll sit and pee in the middle of the night when I want to turn a light on.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of sitting and peeing.
No, I'm man enough to say I do it quite often.
What are some of the healthful reasons?
I'll give you the 6 quick headlines, and I think we can figure it out from there without having to read the whole thing. 6, it prevents the spread of illness. I get that because
the splattering of the urine.
Our powerful manly spray goes everywhere, right? Right, guys? Am I right? 5, it may prevent lower urinary tract symptoms.
Wow, I wonder why that is.
Standing, inability to completely empty the bladder. Oh, I guess when you're standing, it releases the tension on the bladder, and it actually allows it to empty out better as opposed to leaving residual.
When you're sitting, you mean?
Yeah, when you're sitting, you're maybe.
I'm sorry, bladder. When you're sitting, yeah. I don't know. Maybe, that doesn't
maybe your
make
bladder
any
becomes
sense.
More relaxed.
Ah, Larry said something wrong. Everybody pointed him. He pulled a Larry. Larry pulled a Larry.
No. Hold on. I think I just hit on something. Well, thanks, David Headwall. I just clicked on something on my computer that looks like it was almost a freaking a virus or something. So I'm not going to continue with the next four things. Oh, my God. Thanks, David. Thanks.
Merry
Where
Christmas.
Can people send more emails with malware?
Yeah, great. And by the way, Dan Holt, I appreciate your email, but if you think I'm opening a movie of your smoked turkey, you are dead wrong, mister. Not today. But thanks, Dan. Our email address is yourartificialfriends@gmail.com.
And you're looking for that last minute Christmas item. You can go to the Yaff store. Yaffcrap.com.
Because you'll definitely get it before Christmas.
you cannot guarantee that. You can't.
100% you'll get it.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect opinions of podcast management or sponsors.
That's just not true. Yeah. Hey, fellas, I want to take this moment to wish each of you a very happy and healthy holiday season.
Wow. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. Same back at you. I have said this sincerely in the past, and I even meant it then, especially since this whole weird year has happened. The opportunity to really connect with you, even in this remote way, is something I have gotten to look forward to every week. I enjoy this. I never laugh harder than when I'm on this thing, and I never walk away feeling any better than when Andy is wrong about something or when we've made Josh, you know, gag over something disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I gagged this morning. I had a gagger this morning.
Well, tell us your Christmas gag.
So
a little stocking stuffer at the end. I love this.
It's another way for Josh to ruin Christmas for everyone. Go ahead, Josh.
There's really no bells and whistles in this one. It was really
Did it have
simple
anything
one.
To do with smashing a mouse to death or no?
No. We were watching Owen Loves America's Funniest Home Videos, and we put that on this morning, and one of the videos was this lady pushing a wheelbarrow full of horse shit up a ramp into the back of a truck, and she got halfway up and it flipped right over on top of her, and I started gagging. And then here's the best part, is I got over it because I was just like, oh, and I started gagging, and I got over it, and Owen says, what if her mouth was open? To which that caused a whole worse slur.
Could you imagine hot, steamy, really fecund-smelling manure?
And you know
imagine
what?
Imagine that got in your mouth and it was all over your face and got smeared.
Andy, what if you swallowed some of it? Oh, what would happen?
There he goes! Yes!
Andy tosses up the alley-oop, and I get to slam it home. I am so sorry, guys.
You spiked it.
I have deleted the Josh gagging sound effect, so this will have to suffice for now.
I mean, the board broke, and it was like a whole wheelbarrow. It was like on her face. It was so much horse shit on top of her, and it didn't look like it was dry either. It was like somebody had shoveled it in.
The fire is warm and rosy, and we could be oh so cozy.
So kiss me from head to toes.
All right.
Oh, Larry, how can people get a hold of you?
I don't know. You can reach out and see my brand new adorable world's cutest puppy on Instagram at the Larry Morgan, also on Facebook and every so often on Twitter.
What did Alex say to get that dog?
I want a puppy.
Josh, how can people get a hold of you?
Oh, no, wait. Actually, what he said was,
I saw mommy kissing
Santa Claus. JoshuaJFlinger@gmail.com.
Sweet.
How about you, Andy?
I'm on the Instagram at Andy Chanley. And then I'm on Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley, and on Twitter, Andy_Chanley. By the way, on Instagram, did you see the picture that I posted?
Oh, yeah.
I Mr. Ringo Starr this last week?
Yeah.
Ringo friggin' Starr is on the Today Show on NBC, and he's doing the sing-along thing, sitting behind the kit, wearing an 88.5 FM t-shirt.
That's very cool.
That's awesome.
Pretty awesome.
That's super cool.
That's a fucking Beatle wearing an 88.5 t-shirt. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I dug it. I liked it.
Pretty cool.
Are we doing one next week? I don't know. We may not. We may take a week off. Hell, who knows? Let's figure it out.
We'll talk about it. Let's have a meeting.
Oh, boy, we'll have to think about that. I mean, I'll be around. It's not like I'm doing too. Anything on Saturday the 26th.
I'll be right in the first third of my 10 straight days off.
Boxing Day. Well, maybe we will. We'll see. Right.
That's going to be leftover sandwich day, so I might be half asleep by the time we're done, but, yeah, you know, what else is new?
I'll probably need to take a break from being inside my family, so...
That would come out on New Year's Eve, right? It would be the last day of the year.
Why not? Maybe a New Year's Eve show?
Well, maybe we will.
All right. Why not ruin everybody's 2020 the as many ways as possible?
Let's do it.
When the people that you know don't like you.
And I already started it off bad.
That was weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
There's no way I'm gonna get that to sync up.
You know what? You started out, you almost like started off like Elvis did in that song. Like, when the people
can you do the that doesn't work either.
Yeah.
When the people that you know don't like you and treasure friendships. Tune in to this podcast. We are the official friends.
Nearly fucked that up.
Yeah, I had a little shuffle going this time.
That was terrible.
It really did. All right. Hey, happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Daddy. Bye-bye. Every time I'm buried.
Merry Christmas, yappers.
That's right.
Well, I think that was
solid orgasm.
and this is, if Jimmy Stewart were to have an orgasm, it'd sound a little something like this.
See you guys.
Okay, bye.